Hi, my name is Jeff Pagano, and thanks for tuning into the Harpin and Rugby podcast. HarpinandRugby.net is an unofficial fan site for Leinster and Ireland rugby, with write-ups of all the big matches and regular coverage of the latest news and opinion via Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and of course this pod. If you haven't already, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts as well as a host of other platforms. This is a special episode looking ahead to Saturday's 2021 Pro 14 final. Each week I write a preview from a Leinster standpoint on HarpinandRugby.net, and this week is no exception. But I also wanted to get an opposition view, and joining me right after the teams have been named is someone making your seventh appearance on the pod. A warm welcome to our Munster and travelling Lions fan correspondent, Michelle Tobin.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me again.
No problem at all. Well, before we talk about the big match, just a word on, we found out during the week there is going to be a Lions tour, and it is actually happening in South Africa. How does that stand with you and your merry band of traveling Lions fans?
Well, what we know is that the team is going to South Africa. What we don't know is what the story is with four supporters. We actually had our weekly Lions Zoom during the week, and there was a huge feeling of anger at how little information is being given to supporters and how far down the pecking order we are, given the considerable financial investment that people have made. The Lions official email is very wishy-washy. We don't know if supporters will be allowed in. We don't know if South Africa will allow travellers in. You know, wait, we'll tell you at some point. We're lucky that we have all booked with Rugby Travel Ireland again, because we traveled to New Zealand with them and obviously really rated their service and everything they did for us. And we got an email from Rugby Travel Ireland to say that we will know by next Friday, the 2nd of April, what the situation is. So there is some comfort there in that we will have clarity, because people are in situations where, you know, they've booked leave from work, they've had to make plans for things like pet care, you know, childcare isn't an issue for anyone in the group, but there are other considerations it's getting pushed back. Mm-hmm. And when the Olympics came out last month and said, you know, no supporters, we thought, well, then that's absolutely it. So we're expecting to have something along that line in the announcement from Lions official, but there was nothing.
Well, did that announcement take you by surprise, or did you hear a murmur that was what was going to happen? The tour was going to be in South Africa. Like, when that news dropped, was that news to you?
The official announcement wasn't, because it was mooted in the media from last weekend. So, you know, this is the thing, we're being told through the press, which is very, very frustrating.
Yeah. Well, at least, I mean, like you say, Rugby Travel Ireland have at least given you a date. And, you know, that's the thing with sagas like that, when every time you go looking for information, you end up with more questions than answers. But at least you have a definite date that hopefully you'll know a lot more. So hopefully that goes well for you. But at least we got some rugby in the meantime to keep us going. The small matter of a match at the RDS tomorrow. Now, we're talking literally like less than half an hour after the teams were leaked about an hour and a half ago, but the official word came through at 12 on the dot. Two interesting lineups there, sort of a half smattering of internationals being fed back into mostly to the benches, it seems. What did you make of the Munster lineup?
I'm very happy with the Munster lineup. There had been rumours in the run-up to this that the starting 15 from last weekend were not going to feature in the match. So to see those players, I'm very happy to see the Munster ones. I'm probably less happy to see the Leinster contingent. You know, when I went and I had a look, and I think I counted 9 of the Munster 23 were in Ireland camp, and 16 of the Leinster 23, including, you know, the likes of Robbie Henshaw, who must be absolutely shattered at this stage. That's what I'm hoping for.
Hopeful
anyway.
Thinking, yeah.
We'll send Damien D'Alendo down his channel and watch.
But before we get into the specifics of the team, I mean, just from a Munster point of view, I mean, what, apart from the obvious, you know, the rivalry and the history and all this kind of stuff, I mean, how much does this match actually mean to Munster fans? I mean, I know it goes without saying, but I'm still asking you to say it.
It means everything. I mean, a final always means everything, but this final means so much more. And it for a start, you know, it's what, 9 months or 9 years and 10 months, I think, since Munster last won a trophy. And we've been knocking at the door. We've been in some finals. We've been in an awful lot of semi-finals. And for this team to actually win something would be amazing. And then the fact that, and, oh, you know, I'm likely to burst into tears here. The fact that it's going to be CJ's last season, it's Billy's last season. If you believe what's in the press today, it's JJ's last season. And there's probably one or two, not every contract situation has been clarified in Munster yet. So for those people, but especially for CJ and for Billy, you know, we want to send them off on a high because they've been in those big games and we've lost narrowly. In a lot of cases, we've lost by a bigger margin than we'd like in a few of them, but this team really, it would mean everything. I mean, we're still in Europe, but this is the final. We're only in the last 16 of Europe, so tomorrow is big.
It really does. I mean, there's so many little subplots going there. I mean, we also found out today that this Rainbow Cup, inverted commas, is going to be happening, and they actually have some fixtures. And guess who we're playing in the first round? So it's like, but you know, the thing about that is that, I mean, a lot of people have been saying it, so it's not just a conspiracy theory on my part. A lot of people can't see the future rounds possibly even happening. But I think what they're hoping is they were hoping that the fans would be allowed back by this stage and that you could have Leinster Munster matches and have fans at them. So you'd hope that maybe at some stage they can have some kind of game before the end of the season with some kind of crowd, maybe a Leinster, maybe even another match again, Leinster against Munster in May or June, if the South African team doesn't happen, so that the fans can be there. I mean, I think that's the thing, maybe from your point of view, is that it could be their last game, it could be their last match on Irish soil, blah, blah, blah. But you just can't be there. I'd say that's the aspect that hurts the most.
It is very frustrating, but I suppose we also have to remember that we've got other players we haven't been able to give send-offs to because they've been injured before the end of their of the season and they've never had a chance to come back. So it's not really all that unusual, but these are Billy and CJ are two big characters. It would be a bit like Jonathan Sexton retiring and Leinster fans not being able to give him a send-off. You know, these players are that important to Munster. So we're hoping that something will happen. I mean, who knows? But there's a lot of rugby coming up. One of the guys in our WhatsApp was saying of the next 20 weekends, there's only one without rugby.
Can't complain about that.
No, particularly given the gap we had last year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely. It's definitely making up for that. You just hope that the only hope would that be it doesn't take too much toll on the players, but they seem to be kind of, they're making an effort to kind of manage their time. And I'd say, I mean, obviously if anyone's involved in the Leinster, I can't see them going anywhere near that Rainbow Cup. So that there'll be an opportunity for players to get a chance. Well, just looking at the team, I mean, obviously what jumps out for me is Joey Carberry at 10. He's going up against Ross Byrne. That's a big battle there. He's like letting him know he's back and back in contention for the green jersey and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, you can't miss that back row there. I mean, you got CJ, Peter O'Mahony back starting a match as captain. You won't get a better man to fire them up. And Gavin Coombs as well. It'll be a chance for him to make himself known to this particular fixture. That's an exciting back row for you.
It is. You know, the wealth in back row talent in Ireland at the moment is amazing. And, you know, you're talking about the Munster back row, but they are going up against Van der Fleer, Conan and Rhys Ruddock, you know, who are an equally amazing back row. So it's going to be a fascinating battle. To be honest, 15 on 15, there's so many close calls. It's very exciting. When I saw the two teams, I was a little bit scared, but also excited because it is a high stakes match and we are putting out the best 46 players that are fit at this point in time.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, looking at the lineups, I mean, like you said yourself, there's some players that put in some serious game time in the Six Nations. Robbie Henshaw, like you say, it looked like there was three or four of them on the pitch there last weekend. He was everywhere. And then Hugo Keenan as well, who's the only Irish player to play all 400 minutes in the competition. But he's raring to go there, starting at full back, which is great to see. And then, of course, you know, like you say, and no matter what the position, you know, Henshaw's matching up against Dale Ende. That's, you know, that's an amazing matchup there. Keenan, Mike Haley's going up against him. I mean, every number there's a good combination there. You know, it's so. I suppose, I mean, you could say these matches are always close anyway. Though I was surprised to see the bookies have. Now, this was before the teams were named, but the bookies had Leinster by 6. I thought that was maybe too much. I don't know. You know, considering, like you say, all that's going in for, especially on Munster's side, all the little subplots there and the extra motivations that they'll be having. But if it does stay close, it could come down to the benches, and they're two interesting, some interesting names there as well.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Craig Casey, I think, is someone who can really change a game. And not just with a provincial bias, but I would rate him higher than Monsieur Gibson Park. Mm-hmm. I think Casey has the ability to change the game up even more. We've got JJ on the bench, and it's potentially his last season at Munster if the articles to say he's going to Claremont for 2 years are to be believed. Billy Holland is on the bench. He's going to want to come on and, you know, sign off on a high. We've got Killer, who had a fantastic, once he actually got to feature in the Six Nations, he was in flying form. So I'm very excited to see him. Obviously, Jonathan Sexton and James Lowe are on the bench for Leinster. It's going to be interesting. Unfortunately, Jonathan Sexton's foe, Finian Witcherly, isn't in the 23 for this one.
Well, there you go. Yeah, no, just on Kilcoyne, like I've always said, I mean, I'll say one nice Munster thing for this podcast. I mean, he's been my favourite Munster player for a long time. And I think that there was a space there when he was still injured. He hadn't come back yet. First couple of weeks of this campaign. And there was this debate going on saying, you know what? What if Andrew Porter switched to the loose head? And amazing how that would be. And if there's anyone that should have been insulted by that, it would have been Dave Kilcoyne. It's like, you know, no thanks. We're grand on the loose head side. Thanks very much. There was no need for that. How about two good loose heads and two good tight heads fighting for that fight, and more besides coming up the line, you know? So always good to see him. And like you say, yeah, you've got him on the bench. Billy Holland, Jack O'Donoghue, that back row battle with Ryan Baird coming off for Leinster. I mean, the back row is just going to be a full all-out war for 80 minutes, no matter who's on the park. And then Monsieur JJ Anraan, shall we say, as well. He could be playing as well. So that's, you know, and Sexton himself, I mean, when he starts a match, whoever's wearing 22 can pretty much, it's never really guaranteed they're going to get a game at all. But, apart from the fact that Sexton might get injured in the first 20 minutes, which has happened more than once. But the plan is for Sexton to play the full 80 if he feels he's needed. But when it's the other way around, I say Ross Byrne is going. Ross Byrne will be hoping he can hand over to him with the lead. But he knows that he's going to be playing for 50, 60 minutes. So he'd be extra motivated to put in a shift. Let's see, looking elsewhere on that team. Carberry. Like, I mean, it's a perfect example for him. I mean, he played well. He's played well since he came back from Munster, but this is a bigger stage and a real chance for him to show he's back.
Yeah, it's so exciting to have him back. And he's played more rugby than I was expecting him to in the run-up to this, but he's come through it fit. Looking at interviews with him, he talked about how much emphasis he put towards the end of his rehab on fitness and on strength and on being able to play long periods, you know, not someone that had to come in with 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there and build it up over a number of months. So I've been really excited to see how he's played. We know he's the partnership with Conor Murray is good, but we've also seen him play with Craig Casey, and I think that's a very dynamic pairing as well. So very excited to have Joey back, and all I say to the Leinster players is leave him alone, don't break him, we've just got him back.
targeting the opposite number 10. Good God, who would ever think of that? And one more player I want to talk about. He's another favorite of mine. Obviously more so when he wears green is Peter O'Mahony. And I mean, if anyone would be extra fired up for a match like this, considering all that happened in the Six Nations, I was surprised he was left on the bench for the England game. But he did play a part towards the end there. But you know, he likes to lead, he likes to start, he likes to be involved every time the match is going on. So and you know, he's captain. He'd be extra incentive for him as if he needed it.
Yeah, he's going to be very fired up, and there's very few things as exciting to watch as a fired up Peter O'Mahony who just throws body and energy and passion everywhere. He really likes to get stuck in, so I really think what we will see definitely from Munster and probably from Leinster as well is we're going to see a very special match, because people are just going to give everything because it's such a big match, and it, because of these squads, you know, if we were playing a slightly selection that was more maybe a second choice or a weaker team, that there just isn't the same passion. There's very few things that kind of bring a rugby match to life as much as two full strength teams, and that's what we're going to have tomorrow.
Definitely. And as diplomatically as you can put it, how do you feel about the referees? They played a lot. They played a big part in the Six Nations, big decisions. And there's been a lot of extra consultation between them. They had their little chats for like half an hour before they reached a decision, which is important when it comes to these decisions. But given how, you know, you're such a tight game with the pardon the cliche, but fine margins. This is going to be one of those matches, definitely. So you've got Mike Adamson, the first Scotsman, I think, to take charge of a Pro 14 final. It's all Irish officials after that. How do you see him hacking that?
If we were going to have a Scottish official refereeing the final, I'd be a lot happier with Holly Davidson. I thought she did an excellent job last week. Her communication was clear. She was fair. I didn't question a single decision she made. That same can't be said of matches that Mike Adamson has refereed. But look, you have to play the hand you're dealt, and he's the ref. Yeah. So we've just got to hope that he is fair. And actually, one of the big concerns I've had, not so much in the Six Nations, but definitely in the Pro 14, is player welfare. And referees keeping player welfare to the front in terms of high tackles, in terms of stuff going on off the ball. Some referees are really good at that, some less so.
Yeah, I've always found with Adamson, his thing was, you know, in general, my thing with refs is that even if I don't agree with their actual decision, they need to at least say what it is. They don't really properly communicate. There are some refs out there who just tell you chapter and verse, this is what I saw, this is my call, and then you have it and you move on. You can disagree later, but at least you know what he's done. A lot of times they give a penalty and they don't properly explain what it is they give him. I think he's one of those. I think he tends to stay, you know, he's a little less outgoing, and he won't actually tell you what's happened. He's just given the penalty or given the put his arm out, and you're playing on, and you're not quite sure what's going on. So now he's going to have Peter O'Mahony in his face, and with all that's going on, and Luke McGrath has been doing pretty well as captain as well for Leinster. He's really come on this season when he's kind of had to, with Gibson Park overtaking him in the green jersey, but he's responded to that well. So he's going to have the two of them at him in such a high stakes match. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. And also, just even without those specific refs, this current climate now of these tackles that, you know, that they have to be looked at. They you know, and if they follow, they meet the guidelines, and they get the right to, they get the decision. If it has to be a sending off, whatever time of the match, that they just make it, and hopefully it won't come to that. But on a such a fine match like this, you can definitely see something like that happening.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of on the same level as we were in December 2018 in Thomond Park, where there was just that edge in the stadium. The players were super fired up and the supporters certainly were. And, you know, we had a red card there. We had a couple of incidents. As I say, player welfare injuries, that's always my big fear. But, you know, I hope the officials can keep control of the game. Hope they don't have to feature too much. There's nothing worse than a referee in a starring role.
Yeah.
But also that everyone is kept safe and as I say, he's fair. You know, there's nothing worse than a scrum, a referee, you know, having given the decision in the first scrum, the decisions always go that way in the rest of the scrums. And some referees are known for this.
Mm.
So things like that drive me absolutely crazy.
I know. Well, yeah, hopefully the first 15, 20 minutes will set a good precedent for the rest of the match. And we have a game that's decided by the rugby more than anything else. That's, you can't really hope for more than that. Okay, head on the block time. What's your prediction?
I'm going to go with Munster.
Shocking her.
I'm going to go with Munster by a very tight margin. So by 2 points, 4 points, 6 points, something that one score will make the difference so that we will be on
edge.
To
the wire. Yeah.
It really is. I'm going to be hiding. You know, I've come close in a couple of games recently to turning the TV off and like, tell me when it's over. And, you know, I'd love to have a massive winning margin, obviously. You know, of the last 10 games we've played Leinster, we've only won once. But three of the others have been within 3 points, with two of those three being in the last 9 months.
Mm.
So certainly August last year was two full strength teams as well. It was our first game when rugby resumed, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a 2 point match and we left it behind us. So here is hoping that this is the one where we actually seal the deal and bring some silverware back.
Well, there you go. Well, listen, I have a thing or two to say myself in reply about Leinster, but why should I say it over Zoom to your face when I can just get my keyboard warrior on instead and say it behind your back by typing it? No, seriously, my general view is that Leinster have to be the favourites, but that 6 point spread I just saw in the bookies, I just think it's too much because Munster, they're not just well able to nick a win, but they could also dominate on the day if they get off to a good start. So one way or another, it's a match to look forward to. So we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, it's definitely the most eagerly anticipated match of the season so far from a club standpoint, because, you know, Europe hasn't really happened yet. But hopefully it'll all go well on the day.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it's going to be a sort of an Ireland versus England scenario where, you know, we weren't favourites to win last week. And
so the home team wins. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
If we were going to win, we were going to win by a very tight margin. And then we romped home and probably could have won by much more in the end.
Yeah. No, I'll take the home.
We'll go with the underdogs. I'd love to say by a lot, but I'd be happy by a single point.
Yeah. It's all, I mean, it's cup rugby. So it's all about who's ahead at the end of the day. And again, you just hope. I mean, it's not only the officials that can create a controversial incident, but you just hope that it doesn't come down to that. That there's none of that because, you know, there's been a lot. You know yourself. There's a lot of nastiness online and stuff that can happen after matches. Now, it has actually. I think it's actually gotten better. Apart from it's gotten a little more personal towards actual players. But like this time 10 years ago, like a Leinster-Munster match wouldn't happen where I didn't have to ban people from the website. It just got crazy. And they weren't all Munster fans either. It was back and forth, give and take on the website. But I haven't had to do that in a long time now. It's got a lot more respectable. The minority, although they're still vocal and they still stand out and they still cause, they're getting worse in terms of personal attacks. They're just getting a bit of a minority, I found anyway. But hopefully it won't come to that and it's just one on the pitch, okay? So anyway, listen, thanks a million, Michelle, for coming on. We'll have you back on in the next few weeks for a final look at your Lions selection. And of course, with the Rainbow Cup happening that we're playing again on April the 24th, I think it is. So I might have you on again for that. So thanks a million, and we'll talk to you again soon.
No problem.
So keep an eye on the website, harpinonrugby.net, for my full preview, the Twitter feed, at harpinonrugby, for comments during the match. And as always, hop on the Facebook page after the full-time whistle to leave your own thoughts. In the meantime, stay safe, everyone. Slán.